Thanks for listening to our podcast. We've got more information and additional resources at probe.org/podcast. And be sure to check out our life-changing Summer Mind Games Camp for high school and college students.
If we as humanity are from one blood, every nation, why does race stir up such deep emotions? Kirby Anderson addresses racial issues here on Probe.
Race has divided people in our world for millennia, and the prejudice of racism is still with us today. So this week we're going to focus on some important aspects of race and racial issues. Now at the outset, we should acknowledge that although we use the term race throughout this discussion, it is not a very precise term. First, the Bible really only talks about one race, the human race. Superficial differences in skin color, hair color, hair texture, or eye shape may provide physiological differences between people groups, but the Bible doesn't provide any justification for treating people differently simply because of these physical differences. The Bible teaches that God has made from one blood every nation of men. We are all from one blood. In other words, there are no superior or inferior races. We are all from the same race, the human race. Race is also an imprecise term in large part because it's not based upon scientific data. It turns out that the so-called differences in the races is not very great. A recent study of human genetic material of different races concluded that the DNA of any two people in the world would differ by just 0.2%. And of this variation, only 6% can be linked to racial categories. The remaining 94% is within race variation. Let's put it another way. All the racial differences that have been so important to people for generations is statistically insignificant from a scientific point of view. These differences are trivial when you consider the 3 trillion base pairs of human DNA. A third reason the term race also lacks precision is due to interracial marriage. While it is probably true that the so-called races of the world were probably never completely divided, it is certainly true that the lines are becoming quite blurred today. Take golfer Tiger Woods as one example. He is part Thai, black, white, Chinese, and Native American. You know, isn't it ironic that at a time when racial lines are blurring more and more each generation, the government still collects data that requires individuals to check one box that represents their racial or ethnic heritage? A growing number of people are finding it hard to classify themselves by checking just one box. So this week we'll be talking about race and racial issues from a biblical perspective.
You've been listening to Probe with your host, Kirby Anderson. Get Kirby's transcript, Race and Racial Issues, free by going online at probe.org/radio. Then join us next time as we reclaim and proclaim the truth here on Probe.
Sadly, one of the most destructive false teachings supposedly based on the Bible is the so-called curse on Ham. Ham was one of Noah's 3 sons, Shem, Japheth, and Ham. In the past, certain cults and even some Orthodox Christian groups have held to the belief that the skin color of black people was due to a curse on Ham and his descendants. Unfortunately, this false teaching has been used to justify racial discrimination and even slavery. First, let's clearly state that the Bible does not teach that people with black skin color are cursed by God. This curse was not the origin of the black race or black racial characteristics. Second, it wasn't Ham who was cursed, but his son Canaan. In Genesis 9, only one of Ham's 4 sons was cursed, so how could all black people be cursed? As it turns out, the curse on Canaan has unfolded in history. The descendants of Canaan were perhaps one of the most wicked people to live on earth. They were the inhabitants, for example, of Sodom and Gomorrah. Third, even if a curse is given, the Bible clearly places limitations on curses to 3 or 4 generations. In Exodus 20, God says, "You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the 3rd and 4th generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments." Notice that this passage seems to teach that curses based on disobedience are reversed when people repent and turn back to obedience. So not only is a curse limited, obedience to God's principles can break it. Fourth, the Bible teaches that the fulfillment of the curse on Canaan took place with the defeat and subjugation of Canaan by Israel. This had nothing to do with placing black people under a permanent curse. You know, although the idea of the curse of Ham has been dying a well-deserved death, it is still important to remember that not so long ago, people were misinterpreting a biblical passage to justify their racism and discrimination. No one race or people group is inferior to any other. In fact, the Bible teaches that preferences based upon race, class, or ethnic origin are sinful and subject to God's judgment. All of us are created in God's image and have value and dignity. Now, racism has no doubt been the scourge of humanity. It usually surfaces from generalized assumptions made about a particular race or cultural group. While it is wrong and unfair to assign particular negative characteristics to everyone within a racial group, it is done all the time. The bitter result of these racial attitudes is intolerance and discrimination. Now, often racism goes beyond just individual attitudes. These racial attitudes can become a mindset of a particular people group who may use cultural as well as legal means to suppress another race. These cultural norms and laws can be used by the majority race to exploit and discriminate against the minority race. And although racism has existed throughout the centuries, it actually gained an unexpected ally in the scientific realm in the 19th century. Charles Darwin published his famous work, The Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection of the Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. It was the last part of that title that no doubt furthered some of the ideas of racial superiority that flourished during that time. Now, it's not at all clear that Darwin meant to apply the concept of favored races in this particular book to human beings, but the provocative nature of the subtitle was enough to fuel discussions about racial superiority and inferiority. Later, Darwinists took the concept far beyond what Charles Darwin probably intended. So why do people hold racist attitudes? Three reasons are feelings of pride, feelings of inferiority, and feelings of fear. Pride and arrogance fuel racism. When we're proud of who we are, we can easily look down upon those who are different from us and do not manifest the same characteristics that we do. We can start believing that we are superior to another person or race. Racism, however, can come from the opposite end of the emotional spectrum, inferiority. We may not feel good about ourselves, so in order to feel good about ourselves, we disparage another person or race. Racism also results from fear. We fear what we don't understand. We fear what is strange and foreign. Racial and cultural differences may even seem dangerous to us. Racial attitudes can surface if we don't seek to know and understand those who are different from us. We should stand against racism and racist attitudes wherever we find them, in society, in individuals, even within the church. Tomorrow we'll talk more about a Christian's responsibility to fight against racism. This week I've been speaking to the issue of race and racial issues, and today I would like to provide some biblical perspective. We have already noted that the Bible really only talks of one race, the human race. The Bible teaches that God has made from one blood every nation of men. The Bible also teaches that it is wrong for a Christian to have feelings of superiority. In Philippians 2, Paul admonishes the Christians to live in harmony with one another. They are to have a gentle spirit towards one another and to let this gentle spirit be known to others. Christians are also admonished to refrain from using class distinctions within the church. In James 2, believers are told not to make class distinctions between various people. They are not to show partiality within the church. Showing favoritism is called sin, and one who shows favoritism is convicted by the law. Surely these commands would also apply to holding views of racial superiority and inferiority. Likewise, Paul instructs Timothy in 1 Timothy 5 to keep his instructions without partiality and to do nothing out of favoritism. This command would also exclude making racial distinctions based upon a view of racial superiority. Finally, we see that Paul teaches the spiritual equality of all people in Christ. For example, he teaches in Colossians 3:11 that there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and freeman, but Christ is all and in all. Now, this is a significant passage because it shows that Christ has removed four kinds of distinctions: national distinctions, Greek or Jew, religious distinctions, circumcised or uncircumcised, cultural distinctions, barbarian or Scythian, and economic distinctions, slave or free. A similar passage would be Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. In Christ, all human distinctions lose their significance. No one is superior to another. A believing Jew is not superior to a believing Greek. A believing slave is of no higher rank than a believing free person. Racism and racist attitudes are wrong, and Christians should work to remove such ideas and attitudes from society. This week we've been talking about race and racial issues, and today I would like to conclude by providing some suggestions on how to become more sensitive to differences in race and culture. First, we need to take an accurate assessment of ourselves. Often our assumptions and predispositions affect the way we perceive and even treat others. All of us perceive the world differently and find it easier to accept people who are like us and harder to understand people who are different from us. Our cultural worldview affects how we perceive others. So an important first step in becoming more racial and culturally sensitive is to evaluate ourselves. Second, we should try to empathize with others. Instead of trying to make others think like us, we should strive to begin to think like them. That doesn't mean that we have to agree with their viewpoint, but it does mean that becoming empathetic will be helpful in bridging racial and cultural barriers. Third, learn to withhold judgment. Tolerance, in the biblical sense of the word, is a virtue we should cultivate. We should be willing to put aside our critical thinking and judgment until we know someone better. Taking the time to listen and understand the other person will help build bridges and dismantle barriers that often separate and isolate races and cultures. Fourth, do not consider yourself superior to another. One of the root causes of racism is a belief in racial superiority. Paul tells us in Romans 12:3 that a man should not think more highly of himself than he ought to think. Differences in race and culture should never be used to justify feelings of racial superiority, which could lead to racist attitudes. Fifth, develop cross-cultural traits. A missionary who goes overseas must learn to develop personal traits that will make him or her successful in a new and different culture. Likewise, we should develop these traits so that we can reach across a racial and cultural divide. Friendliness and open communication are important. Flexibility and open-mindedness are also important. Developing these traits will enhance our ability to bridge a racial and cultural gap. Finally, we should take a stand. We shouldn't tell or allow others to tell racial or ethnic jokes. These are demeaning to others and perpetuate racism and racial attitudes. Instead, we should be God's instrument to bring about racial reconciliation. We should seek to build bridges and close the racial and cultural divide between people groups and reach out with the love of Jesus Christ.